Cherry Barnes frowned, peering forwards into the bay. "How many reaction drives has she got?" she asked. There seemed an inordinate number of umbilicals jacked into the Lady Macbeth's rear quarter. She could see a pair of fusion tubes resting in the wall brackets, fat 10-meter cylinders swathed with magnetic coils, iron beam injectors, and molecular binding initiators. Joshua turned his head fractionally, switching AV projectors. The new pillar shot a barrage of photons along his optical nerves, giving him a different angle on the auxiliary fusion generator. He studied it for a while, then datavised an instruction into one of the cyber drones. 4 main drives. 4? Adamist's ships usually had 1 fusion drive, with a couple of induction engines running off the generator as an emergency backup. Yeah, 3 fusion tubes and an antimatter drive. You can't be serious, Cherry Barnes exclaimed. That's a capital offence. Wrong. Joshua and Mare both grinned at her, infuriatingly superior. There were smiles from the other 5 console operators in the control center. It's a capital offence to possess antimatter, Joshua said. But there's nothing in the Confederation space law about possessing an engine which uses antimatter. As long as you don't fill up the confinement chambers and use it, you're fine. Bloody hell! It makes you very popular when there's a war on. You can write your own ticket, or so I'm told. I bet you've got a real powerful communication maser as well, one that can punch a message clean through another starship's hull. No, actually, Lady Mac has 8. Dad was a real stickler for multiple redundancy. Harkey's bar was on the 31st floor of the St. Martha's Starscraper. There was a real band on the tiny stage, churning out scar jazz, fractured melodies with wailing trumpets. A 15-meter bar made from real oak that Harkey swore blind came from a 22nd-century Paris brothel, serving 38 kinds of beer and 3 times that number of spirits, including Norfolk tears for those who could afford it. It had wall booths that could be screened from casual observation, a dance floor, long party tables, lighting globes emitting photons right down at the bottom of the yellow spectrum. And Harkey prided himself on its food, prepared by a chef who claimed he had worked in the royal kitchens of Kulu's Heres Principality. The waitresses were young, pretty, and wore revealing black dresses. With its ritzy atmosphere and not too expensive drinks, it attracted a lot of the crews from ships docked at Tranquility's port. Most nights saw a good crowd. Joshua always used it. First, when he was a cocky teenager looking for his nightly fix of spaceflight tales, then when he was scavenging, lying about how much he made and the unbelievable find that had just slipped from his fingers, and now as one of the super elite, a starship owner captain, one of the youngest ever. I don't know what kind of crap that foam is which you sprayed on the space plane, Joshua, but the bloody stuff just won't come off, Warlow complained bitterly. When Warlow spoke, everyone listened. You couldn't avoid it, not within an 8-meter radius. He was a cosmonic, born on an industrial asteroid settlement. He had spent over 65% of his 72 years in freefall, and he didn't have the kind of geneering bequeathed to Joshua and the Edenists by their ancestors. After a while, his organs had begun to degenerate. Depleted calcium levels had reduced his bones to brittle porcelain sticks, muscles had atrophied, and fluid bloated his tissues, impairing his lungs, degrading his lymphatic system. He had used drugs and anonic supplements to compensate at first, then supplements became replacements, with bones exchanged for carbon fiber struts. Electrical consumption supplanted food intake. The final transition was his skin, replacing the eczema-ridden epidermis with a smooth ochre silicone membrane. Warlow didn't need a spacesuit to work in a vacuum. He could survive for over 3 weeks without a power and oxygen recharge. His facial features had become purely cosmetic, a crude mannequin-like caricature of human physiognomy, although there was an inlet valve at the back of his throat for fluid intake. There was no hair, and he certainly didn't bother with clothes. Sex was something he lost in his 50s.